Before I share the word tonight, I just really like to thank you as a church for your faithfulness and your prayers. You know what characterized the early church was prayer. And I think that's why God really worked in the early church. And I think if you folks continue to have a season of prayer and uplift one another, not only in the church, but day by day basis, that we're going to see great things in the future. You know, God is going to do some great things. Sometimes we don't see all the visible results. Sometimes that's good because it helps our egos to stay down, and God wants to get the glory in all that we do. And so I'm sure that God has great things for your church. We've really enjoyed talking with your pastor and his wife, the hospitality that we've had, and the food there, and then to stay with, I won't even try to pronounce it. They said Schicklers. If I think of Schick Razor, but I said Schick doesn't sound like the way the word is spelled, but Adriana and Mike, we've really enjoyed being in their home with their kids. When Mike's not there, we've been talking Portuguese the whole time. And I don't know if it's, we didn't want to talk Portuguese when he came. I'm sure he understands a lot of it. But we really have enjoyed it. My wife talking Portuguese, it's almost like being back in Brazil. But we're just so thankful for your church and for your involvement in our ministry and our lives. And we know you're going to continue to pray for us, that God will continue to direct us. I want to talk about a subject tonight in a few moments. We don't have a long time, but I want to talk about a subject that I'm sure that affects all of us. And that's talking about trials and sufferings and difficulties in our life. And we saw one of the prayer requests tonight, and sometimes we wonder, you know, well, why, God, did that happen? And, you know, when trials and sufferings and difficulties come into our life, I see two things that can take place. Either a person can become very bitter and angry towards God, or they can become better and mature as a Christian and say, God, through that experience, help me to grow as a Christian and help your name to be glorified. When I was growing up in high school, and you heard the testimony, I had a full-paid scholarship to play basketball at a state university. And basketball became the God of my life. You know, sometimes God has to take away those things when we start straying away from Him. And my name was in the newspaper and all the highlights of everything, and you thought, man, you know, God's going to, or something great's going to happen. Well, about 2 weeks before the first basketball game, we were training outside, and we were running to get in shape, and I stepped in a hole and tore the ligaments in my knee and was in a cast for 5 weeks. And I didn't play one basketball game that year, and boy, I sure got bitter as a Christian. I said, God, why did you ever let that happen to me? My future is to be an NBA basketball player. And later I did have a letter to go try out for the New York Knickerbockers. And I became so bitter within my life, and I started to wrestle with God. And when you do that, you never win. We're always losers when we try to say, God, why did you do that to me? And I continued to struggle, and 2 months later I was in a serious car accident, head-on car accident, and thrown out of the car. And I remember I was in the snow, and I woke up in the hospital, and I remember my home pastor said, Ron, do you think God's trying to talk to you? You think He has something better for you? And you know, when I began to pray and ask what God would have for my life as a Christian, that I might glorify Him and do what His will is for my life, I had to go tell my parents. I didn't have any peace about going back to the state university and playing basketball. And my parents were unsaved, and my dad thought I was crazy and lost my marbles. He said, son, he said, if you leave the state university, your basketball scholarship and your future, he said, you pack your bags and don't come back. And I was only 19 when I went to Bob Jones University, and I packed my bag in a car and drove down there as a freshman with $300 in my pocket. I didn't have money to pay for the education, but I worked as a dishwasher morning and night to pay for my education. And you know, God used that for good, because later in December, about Christmas time, my dad phoned me up and he said, son, he said, if your God means so much to you that you'd given up the thing that you wanted to do, to be a basketball player and a full-paid scholarship to go study in a Bible college, he said, come on home. And so, you know, trials and tribulations come into our lives, and a lot of times Pastor read about Job, and if you were here this morning, there were two specific trials in our lives, many others. I'm writing a book called The Trials of Faith. You might be praying for that. It's been 8 years since I started it, and it's sort of just sat there for a long time, and so my wife is encouraging me go back and to write, and it tells the stories of missionaries, of all the trials and difficulties and things that come into their life. But, you know, when we lost a son back in 1980 and buried our son, we couldn't understand it. But my wife began to read Scripture, and as she read Scripture, she would put in the name of Caleb beside it. And when you don't have other people that send a card, nobody says anything of encouragement, it can be very discouraging. But let me just say a practical thing. Don't ever come up to somebody and say, if you've never gone through the experience, I know what you're feeling. Because a lot of times people lose a loved one, they have cancer in their family, they have things they're struggling and going through, and somebody will come up and mean good and try to mean something and say, hey, I know what you're going through. But we really don't until you've actually gone through that experience. And God allowed us to go through that experience, as we mentioned this morning in our slides, because we've never, ever stayed in homes of new couples that lost newborns. But when we came home that furlough 8 months later, God placed us in four or five different homes of couples that lost newborn kids. And my wife could relate to the lady, and I could relate to him, and because we'd gone through that experience ourselves. Just recently, a young couple in our church in Brazil, they lost their first baby. And the doctor told them it was going to be malformed when it was born, and they said, no, we're going to let it go full term. And it lived for just a couple hours and died. And it's a grieving experience, and we don't always know why God allows these things to come into our life. But, you know, trials and sufferings, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm sure all of us face those things. And if you're not, you're going to face it in the future. It may be cancer. It may be the word of somebody dying in your family suddenly. And how we react is very important, that we react in a godly way. And I think as Christians, when we do that, it can be a real testimony to the unsaved world that they can see that God is in all of that. And when I thought of this bus accident, I thought of the bus accident in Brazil, and where the newspaper said, miracle saves the lives of 41 Baptist believers. The bus plunging off into a riverbed. And you know, tragedy many times comes into the glory of God. And when unsaved parents came to see that bus and to see that their kids, their young people, were still living, we had two praise services in two different churches. And you know, God worked in a mighty way. We saw four couples saved. Gloriously, they're still following Christ, and they were parents of young people that were in those bus accidents. Well, I wouldn't want to have to go through a bus accident again, 2:30 in the morning, pitch dark, responsible for 40 teenagers and going off the bridge. But you know, we never understand why God allows certain things to come into our lives. But I think as Pastor was reading about Job, it said, in all these things, Job sinned not. And you know, that's the most important thing when we go through the trials to become, God, help us to be better Christians. Help us through this experience to encourage others. Maybe Christian people I know that go through a divorce. And certainly that's not what God wants. But through the divorce, later on, there may be somebody that's going through that struggle that you can help, or someone in another area in your life. And God allows those things to come into your life. And so I'd just like to start by asking a few questions tonight. How's your life going right now? Is it smooth sailing? Are you wondering where your lives are going? Whether we have it together? What's the next step that we need to take? Are we wondering, you know, what direction is God going to lead us in? We all face trials and temptations just as Job did. You know, Job wasn't a millionaire, but he certainly was prosperous. The Bible talks about having 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 working team of oxen, 500 donkeys, and many servants. And so God, you know, he did have some finances. He was prosperous. But Job, in all his sufferings, was a man who sustained a strong spiritual life and a deep concern for his family. We live our lives like Job did, unable to know really the future one step at a time. And I think Job's trials of the oxen and donkeys lost, the sheep and servants, but I think of his family, his health, and all that he had. You know, I think of losing one son. How would you like to lose 10 at one time? And I think of people that I've known, like a missionary family that was called of God to go, and he was a pilot. And he and his family had come back from a church service, and they got some snow and ice on their wings. And the plane went down in Colorado and went in the snow, and they never did find it till when the snow all dried up 6 or 8 months later. And, you know, there's been books, why do Christians suffer? Why do things happen to us in our life? When you hear of an earthquake, and, you know, Christians are in the path, and just like unsaved people. But God never makes mistakes. Something that we need to realize, that God is sovereign. He never makes his mistakes. He allows things to come into our life so that really he wants us to be better Christians, to be more mature, and later maybe even to help other people. You know, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, I really like him. I don't know how many of you have ever read some of his books, but he said this: Satan's accusations cut at the very heart of worship and virtue. Is God working to be loved and obeyed, even if he does not bless us materially and protect us from pain? God could have spared Job the suffering, but he allows Job to be a test case. No matter where you are, where are the circumstances, God's glory is at stake. And the way we respond to situations that come into our lives, our trials and sufferings are not over. And then great Winston Churchill, if you've read any of his books, he said, after the victory in World War II, "Now this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning." And so, you know, we've not been promised just because we're saved that we won't have any trials and sufferings and afflictions in our lives. But no matter what you're facing, we have a God that's there to meet us, to help us, to encourage us, to guide us, to give comfort and give strength. And you know, God never fails, although sometimes when we're going through those difficulties in our life, we wonder sometimes, where are you, God? Where are you? You know, I wish you were closer. But God uses trials to help us mature in the Christian life. And God makes it clear that Job's sufferings occurred not because he's sinful, but because he's righteous. The why of Job's sufferings is a mystery, as it is for us in the trials and sufferings. Sometimes I find people saying, you know, this person's going through this trial because of some sin in their life. Well, not necessarily. There are times when we sin in our life that God does chastise us to bring us back to himself. But there's often times that there are things that allow to come into our life, just like Job. And the sufferings and things that he faced were because of his righteous lifestyle. And you know, to have a godly wife beside you is a wonderful thing. I wonder what Job thought when his wife said, "Why don't you just blaspheme God, curse God, and die?" You know, and she even lost all hope and the desire to see that God was in all the things that were happening in the life of Job. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so we had many trials that come into our life. And in the book, we're going to talk about, I don't know what you would feel it would be like when you're such anxiously awaiting to get to Brazil. And the first one of the first chapters is a missed airplane flight. We went to the airport, and they had written our tickets out wrong. And we got there, and the plane left an hour before we were supposed to leave to go to Brazil. And you know, trials that come into our life. Learning a new language. You need to pray for your missionaries. I was sharing some of the things. One missionary was preaching on John 14:6, and just changing a little bit of the word for way is camino. And he kept saying that Jesus is the truck to heaven, camino. And, you know, it's not easy to be able to speak in another language, to feel like you're fluent and that you can just, you know, speak like you do in English. And some of you that have had classes in high school of Spanish or Latin or French or something else, you know, you learn it just a little bit, but it's certainly a big difference when you go. And so the new experience, facing floods. We went through a flood soon after we got to Brazil, where the water came up 9 feet high and washed out many homes. We went to a missionary's home that had mud a foot deep all through their house. And there are a lot of things of difficulties that comes. Getting stuck in the mud on the way to a wedding. And our car was stuck in the mud, and we would go just inch by inch. We never did make it to the wedding. I had a suit on, and it was mud from head to toe. And you know, God has a purpose in all these things that happen to us. The serious bus accident, a critical sick baby, and burying our baby in Brazil. And many other things that comes into our lives. And so, you know, it's not always smooth sailing. But we know that we know the God that's with us and all that. And so it's not really a sad recitation of the immense trials of missionary work. It's rather a marvelous record of God's working on behalf of his servants and giving victory over the troubles and turning trials into triumphs. Is not the Bible itself a record of how God sustains so many of his dedicated servants through incredible troubles and trials in their lives? Just think of the trials of Job. Job was quite realistic about the inevitability of trials in the life of God's people. Man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward, it says in Job 5:7. The truth of this statement becomes plain when you consider the history of Joseph, Moses, David, and the prophets, many of whom died for their faith. Add to them our Lord's disciples. And what about the moment of the trials of the Apostle Paul? Of course, there's history of the Lord Jesus himself. It becomes apparent that troubles and trials are part of the plan of God for each life, including those of his servants. So just because you're facing trials and difficulties and trouble, realize that God has a purpose through all these things that happen in our life. And we serve a sovereign God that never makes mistakes and always knows what he's doing. Is it any surprise that modern-day servants of God should not be exempt from trials and troubles? Indeed, Scripture teaches us that these trials should, in fact, draw us closer to God. James 1, 2, and 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And then later in the book of James, he says in chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." We need to take a few moments, and we're almost finished, but take a few moments to understand the New Testament word temptation. The basic meaning of the word is to try, to make a trial of, to put to the test. The word can be used to refer to all kinds of trials and difficulties that come to us, and can either be positive or negative. I'm going to read the last page for the sake of time. In the positive sense, the word is used for a test or a trial designated by God as a test to prove a person's faithfulness and loyalty to God. An example is Job, who endured incredible trials as a test to prove his faith. Job really passed the test. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Another striking example of this is Abraham, when God directed him to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God. Can you imagine such a trial to give up the son of promise upon who depended your entire future? When God saw Abraham's complete obedience, God declared, Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son and only son from me. Genesis 22:12. The greatest example, of course, is the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. God permitted Satan to bring a temptation against Jesus as a trial to test to prove that Jesus could not and would not sin. The scripture said, "God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man," in James 1:13. In the negative sense, the word is used as enticement to sin. In Scripture, Satan is called the tempter. He's our adversary, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the darkness, the god of the world. Specifically identifies as the source of the temptation prompting men to sin. The temptation of Satan against men amounts to a trial brought to test them and prove them whether they be of God or not. So we ask, how are we to understand the many trials and sufferings and things that we face? The answer is really found in 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And it's a comfort to know that the Bible says there's no trial or temptation that we face that our Savior hasn't really gone through. And then he said, "But God is faithful," and that's the key. We have a God that is so faithful. And never get to the place where you're ready to quit and give up and say, "Is it really worth it?" You know, we talk about people. I know some people that have served God for many, many years, and then a trial comes into their life, and you know, it just gets them to the place where they begin to doubt God's word. They begin to doubt God and everything, and their Christian life just really goes downhill. But I don't know what you're facing today. We heard a lot of prayer requests for physical needs, for emotional needs, for families that lost loved ones, for cancer in people. You know, God miraculously heals, but sometimes it's not God's will to heal, and people will go through cancer and die. And we need to be ready, no matter what trial or suffering that comes into our life, but to know that God is faithful. And I think that's the thing that helps us to go on as Christians. No matter what comes into our life, you know, we could have packed our bags and said, "Hey, we're going home. You know, we buried a son in Brazil, and what's the use? I remember when we first went to Brazil, a missionary came up to us and said, "Ron," he said, "it's not going to be easy." He said, "God's servants face many difficulties." And this missionary went to Brazil first term. He said, "We buried both of our sons, one that was 3 and one that was 4 in the first 3 months. He said, "My wife wanted to pack up her bags and come home." He said, "You know, God has called us, and God has a ministry for us. And, you know, we can't answer those questions, And we don't attempt to answer the questions. We just say we know our God is good, God is merciful, God is loving, God is kind, God never makes mistakes. And so whatever you're facing tonight, I don't know what it may be, but I do know that God is faithful and God will help you go through that situation. He's still in control. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God doesn't put more on us than what we can take. God knows, you know, our complete being. And I hope that you'll go out of here tonight knowing that no matter what trial or trouble that you face as individuals or a family or a church, that God is still in control and God is faithful. And as we look to Him, just like Job did, it said, in all these things, Job sinned not. And my prayer for you and for me and for those of you that are here is that when the trials and temptations come, that we can go through them just like Job did. And we can say in all these things, I sin not, that I put Jesus Christ first and glorified Him. So thank you so much for allowing us to come and to be with you. And we really enjoy it so much. We've had such a great time of fellowship and getting to know you. If you haven't picked one of our prayer cards up, there's some on the table, vestibule on the right, and there's some on our display table. If you haven't looked at it, take a look at the table. One of the hardest things, I think, when we left Brazil, they had 4 different farewell services. And, you know, it's really hard to say goodbye to people that you've come to know and love and embrace. And every time it seems like when we left there to come back, it was always crying. And we came back here, it was always people to welcome you with open arms. And then we had people that we knew here that we loved that we were already crying with our family to say goodbye and go back to Brazil. And, you know, it's going to be a wonderful thing when we get to heaven that we can see all over the world what God has done and His redemptive power and by His grace saving people. And we're thankful for what God has done in your church. Last time we were we came, you were still meeting in the Seventh-day Adventist church and the putting up and tearing down, and to see God provide in a miraculous way. You know, we serve a great God, and He goes before us as individuals and as a church when we call upon Him. And if you're going through a difficult time, remember James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberty, and upbraideth not. And so we need to just ask God, give me wisdom so that I might understand, I might be able to follow you, and I might be able to do and have the right discernment to make the right decisions. And so whether it's a decision to go to college, or whether it's a decision to move to a new location, or whether it's some other decision in your life, that God would give us the wisdom and discernment as we go through this life, knowing that one day there will be no more aches or pains, no more suffering. We're in the presence of our Savior. What a day that will be. And so what a friend we have in Jesus.